I shouldn't say, these folks aren't guests. They've been here so much, they're just family, right? Amen. Yes, they are. All right. I do a lot of things crazy sometimes, but it's about getting your attention. Throwing the bowling ball down the aisle was getting your attention. Taking a cross and nailing nails on it one time, that was getting your attention. Taking some clay pots and using them as an illustration, that was to get our attention. But the most important thing to know is it's not me that needs your attention. It's God. And sometimes God does things to get our attention. There's a lot of questions, several questions I have I'm going to ask today and hope they will strike home to us this morning. The first one is, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. There's some verses there we're going to read there. There's a lot going on in the world today that's got our attention. Scary things coming on. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. Chapter number 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people, now notice this verse. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Whose glory? God's glory. They've changed it. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned and without an inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tahapenes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not obscured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, which he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do with the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backbitings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that thy fear is not in thee, saith the Lord thy God. Are we listening to what God's trying to tell him? Where is Israel listening to what God was trying to tell them? So, and are we listening to what God is trying to tell us? I wrote this down several years ago. So God is always speaking. He never stops speaking. We just stop listening. God is always speaking, even in the quietness of his voice. How many of you ever been there? You felt like God wasn't listening to you. God didn't even think you thought that maybe God didn't even know you existed. You've been there. You've been out all by yourself. You wondered if God really cared. I'm here to tell you he does. And he's always listening. He never stops listening. He wants to hear your voice. Does God have your attention? You know what God's, I believe right now God's trying to get the attention of America. We see a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things changing. A lot of things are disturbing. People will tell you, I believe it's true that God is trying to wake us up. This country was originally a Christian nation. I don't care what the left wants to tell you. You go look at all the founding documents of this country, and you will find scripture. You will find where they talk about God and Jesus. You'll find the state of Rhode Island. By the way, the First Baptist Church was started in Providence, Rhode Island. Those early colonies, every state had in their founding documents articles about God and worship to Him. And I believe it was Rhode Island, one of their statements in their founding document was that if you were going to be a citizen in Rhode Island, that you had to be a born-again believer of Jesus. That was in their documents. Our Constitution is full of things. The downfall of America started around the mid to late 1800s. I know exactly when it started. It started when the church gave in to the wrong voice. There were two men who come along and said they had a better Bible than what was out there. Their name was Westcott and Hort. They were two Catholic agnostic priests that found a document in a monastery in Alexandria, and they made a Greek translation from that text. It was known as the classical Greek text, and they came up with made an English version from that Bible from there. And it changed verses, and the religious crowd, churches began to accept that. And from that point on, America started going downhill. And we have seen it continually fall. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about that knowledge shall increase. Brother Ed talked about one time in Sunday school, there is an exponential curve about that knowledge increasing. For hundreds of years, that curve was level. Then around in the 1800s, started curving up. Now the exponential curve is going straight up and down because knowledge is increasing. About every 3 to 6 months, more knowledge is being gained. Did you see what happened the other day down in South Texas? Elon Musk down there, did you see what they did? They landed a booster rocket. They brought it back in. They controlled it and brought it back down through the clouds. It came down, and all of a sudden that booster rocket fired off, and the flame was coming out the back of it, slowing it down from its descent to the earth. And they landed it down on that pad with those arms from that launching pad where they have that tower there where they launched rockets from. It came down to that tower, and the arms on that tower closed in on it, and they landed it with no problem whatsoever. Why? Because knowledge has increased. They used to could not do that, and now they're doing it. Knowledge has increased. But also, there's also a verse in the New Testament that says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Along with that exponential curve of knowledge has been also the curve of wickedness. It is now going straight up and down because wickedness has increased. When it all started back in the late 1800s. Listen, when you water down the word of God, When you water down the word, you water down preaching. When you water down preaching, you water down the living of the people in the pew. And that's what we've seen take place. And when it came for people to stand up for right and truth, there was nobody to stand. That's what has happened. We were told to shut up. We were to sit down. We were told to stay out of politics. We were told to keep our mouth shut and leave it alone because we're smarter than you. We see where the smartness has taken us. When we tolerate that which is wrong, we contaminate that which is right. And that's what's happened. We have allowed wrongs to take place so long that it has contaminated that which is right. It doesn't matter the institution or the item, home, school, churches, government, and even our lives. When we allow and we tolerate wrong in our life, we're contaminate that which is right in our life. All evil needs is for good men to do nothing. And that's what happened. They're coming after our children now. Abortion. There's been hundreds of millions of babies killed because they say, oh, that's my body. I have a right to do what I want. Well, I beg to differ. It's not your body. That's inside you. That body inside them, inside a woman, has a different DNA than the mother. That body inside that woman has a different chromosome than the mother. And I believe if you check it out, you'll find that that body inside that mother has a different type of blood in inside them than mama does. I'm a O negative. My mama was a O positive. It's a different body, that baby. And then not only do they want to kill the babies in the womb, those that survive, they want them to change their gender. This is where we've come to. They're doing everything they can to change what we know that's what is right. Is God trying to get their attention? I believe he is. Is God trying to get our attention? We've seen all this stuff take place. We've seen it. We have God's word. We know what happened. The children of Israel, they didn't have God's word, but they saw what he did. They saw Moses take serpents and turn them into, take a rod and turn it into a serpent. They saw Pharaoh's priest do the same thing. They saw Moses' rods that were turned to a serpent eat Pharaoh's rods that were turned to serpents. They saw that. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the plagues take place. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. But yet, they still rebelled. God was trying to show them who he was. And by the way, folks, God wants to show us who he is in our life. Does he have your attention? Let me ask you this. Do you have God's attention? What do you mean? This, folks, this is where we need to be. Getting God's attention on us. We can do that. If you are not striving to get God's attention, the day will come when he will strive to get your attention. You ought to be in this book and praying for God to speak to you and to show you who he is and what he can do. That's how we get God's attention, by getting in his word. And if we'll get in his word and get on our knees, we'll find out what God has for us. We'll find out and hear God speak. Listen, I believe God speaks to us audibly. He'll speak through the Holy Spirit in what we call the inner voice. But listen, if we're not listening to the written voice, we'll not hear the inner voice. And when the inner voice does speak to us, that inner voice will speak to us what is in the written voice. And that's how he'll guide us. It's not fun being in a position of God getting our attention. It can be very painful, and I've been there. This time last year, I was going through a trial. I was fighting a cancer that was growing on my kidney. And I was, you know, I wasn't worried at all. I wasn't really that concerned about it. And so God said, I'll fix you. When I found out my insurance wasn't going to cover it, that's when it bothered me. Not the surgery didn't bother me. Getting the cancer off didn't bother me. Just didn't know how I was going to pay for it. And, you know, God has a way of showing us some things. Turn to Isaiah chapter 41. I'd been praying a lot and reading a lot and trying to get to God and asking God, how am I going to get this taken care of? How are we going to get this done? And nothing was working out. And God showed me some verses. See, folks, listen. I was trying to find out from God. And when we're praying and we're reading and we're in God's word like we ought to be, we'll find the answer. Hey, everything you'll ever face in life, you will find the answer to that problem right here in this book. It's here. Look at verse number 10. This is something God showed me. He said, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Look down at verse 13. "And I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." And I knew right then, God's got it under control. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how he's going to fix it. I just know that he's going to fix it. I just wish he'd hurry up and do it. Verse 14, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." I read that one. That when I saw that, I said, what in the world? He's calling Jacob. He's talking about how he's going to take care of him and make sure everything works out, and he's calling him a worm? You know what I realized? God loves worms. Jacob was just a worm, and that's all I was just a worm, and he loves worms. "And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Chapter 40, verse 31 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." When God showed me those verses, and I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and I got another Bible at home that stays by my bed. They're in that paper, and they was in that Bible. I was reading those verses every night, and I knew God was going to take care of it. I just didn't know when or how. And you get impatient. But the time came, God showed me, and he worked it out. And he made it plain as day. He sent some friends. Amen? Amen. Thank God for my friends. Thank God. God had the answer the whole time. I just didn't know what it was. And he showed me that answer. And he worked it all out. And I didn't have to pay a dime for the surgery. Amen? It wasn't fun when Mom and Dad took me to the woodshed. It was painful, but it got my attention. God has a way of getting our attention. Does he have yours? He wants your attention. And by the way, when we start searching for him, he'll give us his attention. And we'll see him working and blessing in our lives. Always remember this. God always has a plan. God always has a reason. God always has a purpose. God always has the answer. And God is the answer. You always want to be in the place of getting God's attention. And it starts by getting in his word and getting on our knees and praying. And we can get God's attention. That's the best place to be. That's where the blessings are, when you have his attention. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for their patience. Thank you for their love. I ask you to bless them and bless, keep your blessing on this church and help us, dear God, to always be looking to you, no matter what it is. and keeping our eyes on you. And we'll have your attention. In Jesus' name, amen.